ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Starting another project, discussing the divine qualities of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is based on the 64 qualities of Lord Krishna, which are given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the nectar of the ocean of the nectar of devotion. Now, Krishna's qualities are unique. We have words which describe qualities that we observe in people of this world, qualities like beauty, compassion, mildness, mildness, anger. These are different qualities. But in Krishna, they are absolute and complete. He is Purna. And the jiva can also have qualities, but can only reflect those qualities to some extent. Cannot have them in full. Although Krishna can infuse his qualities in others. If someone is angry in this world, that is a reflection of the anger of Krishna. But the pure devotees of Krishna, they are on the same level of Krishna, not in quantity, but in quality. And thus the qualities of pure devotees are simply astonishing to persons like ourselves who are stuck in the three modes of nature, mostly the lower modes, and we're simply amazed to see qualities from the transcendental platform. And actually that was a fact. When Srila Prabhupada was personally present to our vision, it was clear to those whose eyes had been a little opened by his mercy that he was simply not a person of this material world. He was extraordinary in everything that he did and said. Speaking is most important. By his speaking, he uplifted the world. By his very presence, he uplifted the world, but his instruction is the words that came through from the spiritual world. They enlightened those who are fortunate enough to let those words enter their hearts. So just like it's very difficult to explain Krishna, it's very difficult to explain who is Srila Prabhupada and the effect his presence had on others. At the same time, it's very purifying and very pleasing to attempt to explain such qualities. And doing so is the perfection of our life. We can't understand everything about it. Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Bigeha Nabhujai. Srila Prabhupada used to state this. It's a paraphrase of a statement in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that even a very learned person of this world cannot understand the activities, the actions of a pure devotee. In Gita, we also have Arjuna asking Krishna, early in the Bhagavad Gita, Stita Pragyasya Ka Bhasha Samadhi Stasya Keshava Stitadhi King Prabhasheta Kim Asita Vrajeta Kim. Arjuna asked Krishna, oh, what are these self-realized persons like that you're talking about, Krishna? I mean, What do they do? How do they walk? How do they talk? How do they move? How do they sit? They're in samadhi. They're in a different state of consciousness. What are they like? How do you recognize them? So Krishna, he gave a reply which didn't exactly say, well, he sits at a 45 degree angle. He didn't say like that. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan pata madhagatan atman yevyatmana tushta stitadiya stita pragya tadochate. Krishna said that the symptom of a self-realized person, stitadi, one who's situated in transcendental intelligence, his symptom is that he's withdrawn his consciousness from the consciousness of trying to enjoy this world. And he's situated in the self. And for a pure devotee, he's not only withdrawn from the world, but he is situated in the spiritual world. That is a great difference between the impersonalists and the voidists and the pure devotees. The impersonalists and the voidists want to become detached from this world, but the pure devotees have the positive aim of attaching themselves to the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world. Anyway, specifically, now I'm speaking in a very general way here, but specifically moving on to the qualities. Obviously, not all of these qualities of Krishna are going to be reflected in the pure devotees. Some of them are, but some of them, just like unlimited universes generate from his body, that doesn't apply to the pure devotees. That applies to Lord Mahavishnu. But some of them do. And we'll begin with number one, then, which is beautiful bodily and extremely pleasing features. So Krishna, the first symptom is given out of his innumerable transcendental qualities. Just yesterday I was talking about Ananta Kalyana Guna, his unlimited qualities, all of which are auspicious in every respect. Now, when we say the beautiful bodily and extremely pleasing features, that refers to Krishna, who is Satyadananda Vigraha. His very form is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. It's very difficult to convey, actually, in language. It's just like, what is our body, this body, this bag of bones body, that's made up of stool, urine, pus, mucus, bile, all these different things. But Krishna's body is not exactly made up of eternity, bliss and knowledge. It just is eternity, bliss and knowledge. Now, if we talk about Srila Prabhupada's body, it appears to be a material body, inasmuch as it's born from a mother. Well, Krishna was also born from Devaki or Yashoda, depends whether which side of the Yamuna River you're on, which you'll say where Krishna was born. Krishna grew up. He never grew old. But Srila Prabhupada's body and his whole life appears to be part of this material world, and the materialist will scoff when we say he's not of this material world. Philosophically, we can understand, and those who were in Srila Prabhupada's presence, and even up to the present time, if we're blessed enough, we can understand that. We can experience that he's not a person of this material world. People would become awed by seeing him. They would start to cry upon seeing him. Not explainable why. They'd become filled with bliss by seeing him. It's not something to be, well, it can be philosophized about and try to explain it, but it's simply something to be experienced. Simply not of this world. Now, almost all the photographs we have of Srila Prabhupada, and there are many such photographs, almost all of them show him as an old man. He came to the Western world when he was 70 years old, by Indian calculation, or 69 years old. And the signs of old age were there. Now, we don't think of old people as beautiful. We see the advertisements are all, they show young people, is it not? Unless they want to sell retirement plans or something like that, insurance. The advertisements generally show young people. And Krishna is eternally young. There are no pictures of Krishna with wrinkles. We saw Srila Prabhupada's face with wrinkles. But devotees would say, oh, he's so beautiful. And what is that beauty? Well, his bodily features did not look ugly due to old age. For that matter, Srila Prabhupada, from the, if we, in one sense we shouldn't, but if we say, if we compare his bodily features to someone who is considered very good looking, the actors, generally the film actors, they're very good looking, and the actresses are very beautiful, and everyone will agree that they're beautiful. You can't exactly measure it, you can't exactly quantify it, but everyone knows if you see a very good-looking man or a very beautiful woman. So Srila Prabhupada wasn't beautiful in that sense, not that he was ugly, in just talking here from the material idea of beauty here. He wasn't ugly, but he wasn't the film star category beautiful, but he had another kind of beauty altogether, which again, it's you can't quantify it. It was the glow of the soul, that's all. It has been quantified actually, because there is a science of physiognomy, Vedic science of physiognomy, by which you can, by seeing the different bodily features of a person, you can understand about their character. It's a whole Vedic science, and that's described about Shukadev when he entered the assembly on the bank of the Yamuna where Parikshit Maharaj was sitting. Immediately, everyone present could understand, here is a great personality. And there are 32 symptoms of a great personality given in the Samudrika, which is part of Garuda Purana. My one godbrother, Patit Pavan Prabhu, along with his good wife, Abhay Mudra Dasi, have published in English some analysis of Srila Prabhupada's extraordinary bodily features by which it can be understood that he's a great personality. Again, you can quantify it, but you can say his eyes were like this, his teeth were like this, but the overall experience of seeing him and being in his presence, that you can try and put it in words, but it's simply something to experience. Anyway, let's go through this, which Patit Pavan Prabhu and his wife have very nicely composed. You've all seen photographs of Srila Prabhupada, so there are so many. He was highly photogenic also. I never heard of photos of Srila Prabhupada that the photographers had to dump or scrap because he looked odd. He was highly photogenic. Without trying, he wouldn't pose for the camera. Oh, now the camera's on there, I have to. Oh, I better look good. Although he did try to dress nicely, understanding, as he said himself, first dress, then address. But he wasn't hung up on trying to look good. He just looked good, that's all, automatically. All right, let's read from Patit Pavan Prabhu's Physiognomy of a Pure Devotee. So he has written, Srila Prabhupada's eyes were warm and beautiful, with protruding skin all around them. His brown eyes show warmth and a refined writing ability. Now you may wonder what this is all about. Well, it's the science of physiognomy. By seeing bodily features, you can understand specific traits of a person. Then he continues, the baggy eyes illustrate deep memory and facility to grasp facts. The high distance between the iris and the eyebrows show an explicit ability to grasp shape, color, and geometrical variations of abstract as well as manifest phenomena. I'm not exactly sure what that means. It sounds, it just gives the general idea, the ability to immediately see, and by seeing to grasp, to understand what various phenomena, what various things are. His, Srila Prabhupada's, thick and long eyebrows show deep thinking and an enormous capacity to love. Now those are two features of Srila Prabhupada. Deep thinking and an enormous capacity to love. The flat cheeks display his facility to move among others without being invasive, although the distinctive space between the upper lip and the nose shows an impressive and commanding personality. Yet Srila Prabhupada was able to move among all different kinds of people. People would feel comfortable with him unless they were demons. He'd get on their case. And he definitely had an impressive and commanding personality. The thick lips confirm his exquisite sense of that which is beautiful and is worthy of attention. So definitely Srila Prabhupada had a sense of that which is beautiful and worthy of attention. He was not in the slightest bit attracted to the beauty of this world, because he was attracted to the beauty of Radha and Krishna. And he knew that this subject, Radha and Krishna, this is worthy of attention. And he gave himself, Srila Prabhupada, gave a lot of attention to the fact that people are suffering miserably in this world. And he applied his intelligence to uplift the suffering people of this world. Then, going on, Srila Prabhupada's thicker upper lip shows simplicity of expression and the ability to condense difficult concepts into a single statement that is easily understood. That was a consistent feature of Srila Prabhupada, that difficult philosophical concepts, the highest philosophy of the Absolute Truth as given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srila Prabhupada would just, in a few words, easy English, which he would express that. And English, just to give a modern example, the two most prominent computer operating systems are those of Mac and Windows, Microsoft. And they have similarities, but you can't run one on the other very easily, or you have to have some special interface. They have a different basis altogether. So English wasn't meant for, it's just like Windows isn't made for running Mac programs. So English wasn't meant for describing the Absolute Truth. English language was developed on the basis of sense gratification and let's go to hell, and think that we're very civilized while we're doing so. But Srila Prabhupada had that amazing ability to just take concepts from a different culture, different understanding altogether, put them in English, get people to understand them, and not simply understand, but Guru Mukha Padmavaka Chitete Koriya Aike, to impress them in people's hearts so that they would become one with their heart and dedicate themselves fully to that. Arna Kori Hamone Asha. and fully realize them and understand them. Even in material subjects, Srila Prabhupada could capture the whole situation with just a few words. I'll just give an example from Bhurijan Prabhu's wonderful little book, My Glorious Master, describing in short anecdotes some of his interactions with Srila Prabhupada. I believe it's in that book. Maybe it's in another book. But anyway, that My Glorious Master is certainly glorious. So, Srila Prabhupada was in Japan and he was giving a talk, and some woman came inside and started shouting at Srila Prabhupada and everyone else in Japanese, which Srila Prabhupada didn't understand. And, or maybe he did understand, but at least conventionally he showed that he didn't understand. So he asked, so what's going on? What's she saying? And the someone who translated said, she's upset because the devotees had made her, she's the landlord's wife, and she's upset because the devotees had made her husband clean out the sewage overflow, something like that. And then Srila Prabhupada understood, and he just leaned into the microphone and said in two words, Japanese landlady. That's all, as if to sum up the whole phenomenon. He just caught everything, Japanese landlady. And then she also, somehow or other, she couldn't understand what was going on. She also understood, oh, I've been put in my place, and she trotted out. Just one little tiny anecdote from the ocean of Srila Prabhupada's activities in this world. His bold chin explains his bravery as well as deep compassion for others. Yeah, that's one feature, to have a strong chin, to brave, bold, and compassion. All can be seen from his chin, from those who know the science. The dimple in the middle of Srila Prabhupada's chin is the mark of an undisputed leader. Undisputed leader, yes. Srila Prabhupada himself told the story or the anecdote that when he was born, the standard thing in better families in India, when the child is born, the note is taken of the time, the place is there, that's known. It's given to an astrologer who will calculate the chart. And so Srila Prabhupada had his chart calculated, and there are various features there. And Srila Prabhupada said in Hindi or Urdu, one feature that the astrologer mentioned, hukum chalega. You know that word, hukum? It's an Urdu word. It means order. His order will be followed. In other words, he will be a leader. So that was there. That was there. By physiognomy, you can understand about a person, and by astrology, there are various ways we can understand. Undisputed leader. And Srila Prabhupada said he was always the leader among his friends. From the very beginning, he was always leader by character. Then, when he spoke, he used to show mostly his lower teeth. This fact shows the great compassion embedded in his character. Srila Prabhupada's broad nose, have you noted that? A very broad nose. Exhibits great particularity in work, attention to details. And his large nostrils shows a man that is outwardly wealthy. Yeah, that would show a man who is outwardly wealthy. Of course, we don't think of Srila Prabhupada as an ordinary man, but anyway, this is the science of physiognomy. His double chin shows a realization of goals achieved in later years. That was another remarkable fact of Srila Prabhupada. In later life, his goals were realized. His large ears signify wisdom and a sense of hearing that goes beyond the material world. He can hear all the way to the spiritual world. The unique facial features of Srila Prabhupada reveal many facets that can be read with great depth. Yet still another attribute is the shape of his cranium, revealing the features of his brain, something which we can study freely due to the fact that his head was always shaved. He had his own distinct walk with a cane that many tried to emulate. You know, with his head in the air like this. Sometimes devotees would try to imitate that. However, it would appear that a person must actually be self-realized in order to hold his head at such a dignified angle. Like that. So he's actually self-realized. Srila Prabhupada walking away. He's on top of the whole world. Srila Prabhupada's features were extremely vibrant and therefore emanated the light of real beauty, eternal life. He was unique in the entire world, and his face as well as his entire appearance reveals his transcendental and worshipful qualities. So when we're talking about the body, generally we talk about the body, material body. We don't want to concentrate on the body at all. The body is something material. Krishna's body is spiritual. A pure devotee's body is also spiritual, in the sense that it's spiritualized, just like an iron rod in fire is fireized. It acts just like fire. If you touch it to someone, it'll burn them just the same as fire. So Srila Prabhupada's body was entirely spiritual, because every atom within it was meant for serving Krishna. So in the spiritual body, we start by meditation from the feet. Here's a very nice meditation on Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, or a comment from Hari Shari Prabhu from his transcendental diary. And it really is transcendental. So just a little comment. Hari Shari Prabhu said, although I massage his feet, Srila Prabhupada's feet, every day, still I never tire of seeing them. They are all attractive, a constant reminder of the shelter we all seek to attain. Ha ha Prabhu Karo Daya Deha More Pada Chaya. We all want to take shelter in the shade of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. So that's very nice. He massages Srila Prabhupada's feet every day, but he doesn't become tired of that. Tirelessness. Srila Prabhupada is very old. Generally old people seem to be quite tired. Here's another observation from a devotee who had a lot of personal association with Srila Prabhupada, Hayagriva. He writes about Srila Prabhupada in his book, Vrindavan Days. He's talking about seeing Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan. So he writes, although 76, at the time Srila Prabhupada was 76, although 76, Prabhupada seems as ageless as ever. So Srila Prabhupada physically grew older, but he wasn't like an old man. He wasn't like any man. He was Bengali, but he wasn't like a Bengali. He was a sadhu, but he wasn't like any other sadhu. There's no material category. There's no material category to fit him in. And you can find some official biography of him in an encyclopedia or something. He was a sannyasi, he was a sadhu, he was the head of a religious cult. He's Bengali, but none of these describing. He said about his own guru, he was a Vaikuntha man, Vaikuntha Purush. So he's ageless. Hayagriva goes on, his head is freshly shaved and the aroma of mustard seed oil tells me that he has just received a massage. His complexion is radiant. Yeah, I'll get back to that later, how he's glowing. His eyes are clear, his face full and healthy. This is the face that attracted me that day when I was walking down New York's Houston Street and first met him. the face that brought met so many young seekers to that little storefront temple on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights. That's something that Hayagriva referred to several times, and it's a historic moment in the history, the spiritual history of the world, that Srila Prabhupada just walking on the street, in some street in New York City, and he came across this young, big-bodied, bearded man, and they met, and they exchanged, "Oh, who are you? Where are you from?" That was Srila Prabhupada meeting with Howard Wheeler, who was in many ways instrumental to the whole Hare Krishna movement in the West getting started. And as much as Howard started to bring, he went back to the apartment he was sharing with Keith Ham, Wally, don't know his second name, and I think, no, I don't think Chuck, it was Chuck Barnett who became a Chutananda. Keith Ham became Kirtananda, Wally became Umapati, so those three were staying together. And Harvey, who became Hayagriva, brought the other two, and then they all started coming regularly, and they formed the first nucleus of steady followers of Srila Prabhupada. It's like a crystal. If there's a saturated solution, you might remember from school, from your chemistry class, if there's a saturated solution, you have to put a little crystal, a little salt or whatever, and then the crystal can form around that. There has to be, there can be all the potential to form a crystal, but you have to have a little to make the rest form. Something like that, yogurt, you have the milk, you have to put a little yogurt culture, and then the rest becomes cultured like that. So in the same way, this first nucleus gathered around Prabhupada, and then they got to know what was going on to some extent, and then when others came, they would bring them in and talk with them, and in this way, they became the first followers, and other followers came in, and then the whole thing started to grow, and eventually it snowballed. And the first of Hayagriva's books was called The Hare Krishna Explosion. So this is Vrindavan Day. So he remembers always that first meeting, as if by chance, all arranged by Krishna. Anyway, we're talking about Srila Prabhupada's divine, beautiful form. So he remembers that, oh, now I'm seeing him, 76 years old. That was 6 years after I first saw him. This must be around 1972 then, when he's writing or remembering this. It's the same face that attracted me then and attracts me now. For us, Hayagriva says, his face embodies all the attractive qualities of devotion, for it's a pure, truthful, and compassionate face. Where do you see that? You can see the beautiful faces of the film stars. Do you see any face that is pure, truthful, compassionate? No. They may have some physical beauty, but not the beauty of the soul. So that face, Hayagriva says, it is both happy and grave. Now that's an amazing quality of a spiritually situated person. Happy and grave at the same time. In this material world, happy generally means frivolity. And grave means somberness. But Srila Prabhupada is both happy and grave because he is Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Brahma Bhuta means situated on the spiritual platform, profound, and Prasannatma, happy to the very core of his being. It's a different kind of happiness altogether from the whimsical happiness of thinking that someone is enjoying this material world. So Hayagriva goes on, it, Srila Prabhupada's face, is magnanimous, gentle, and forgiving. It is also determined and self-controlled, and above all, most learned and intelligent. All this you see a face, you just see in a second. But then if you go back, as Hayagriva is doing, analyze what What is your impression in that very moment? All these things all at once he sees in Prabhupada's face. Determined and self-controlled, most learned and intelligent. It is a face not afraid to love and give all in love for Krishna. That's an important phrase, not afraid to love. People are afraid to love because they fear, if I give myself to someone, I may be cheated, or I may have to give up some of my own self-interest. If I love someone, I have to do something for them. I don't do that. Srila Prabhupada was not afraid to love and give everything to Krishna. He had full faith in Krishna. Actually, we say faith in Krishna, but that's for us neophytes. For a great pure devotee, there's no real faith in the way that we have it. He's beyond the stage of having faith, faith in something beyond. He's already there with Krishna. So, going on, Hayagriva. Indeed, Prabhupada's face conjures all those virtues that lead to love of Krishna. It's not an ordinary man's face, that is for sure. It transports an entire spiritual fact, the Vedic culture, an atmosphere of bhakti. I first began realizing his potency just by looking at his face. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada, his face conveys that he's transporting a whole spiritual fact. The Vedic culture, which he very nicely encapsulates and says, the Vedic culture, it gives an atmosphere of bhakti, something completely different. Whenever I'm Krishna conscious, I first began realizing his potency just by looking at his face. That's very interesting because Srila Prabhupada's potency to a large degree, it hadn't been manifest in a way that we could, that anyone could understand it. When Srila Prabhupada was in New York in 1965 and 1966, there was no big Hare Krishna movement. Where was the potency? It was there, but it hadn't manifested yet, the whole big Hare Krishna movement. But Hayagriva says, I first began realizing his potency just by looking at his face. Whenever I'm Krishna conscious, it makes me joyful. He's being honest here, Hayagriva, because he had his ups and downs in Krishna consciousness. Even after coming to Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he went away also. So he's frankly saying, candidly saying, whenever I'm Krishna conscious, it, looking at his face, makes me joyful. Whenever I'm not, I'm afraid to look at it. You see, if we're in poor consciousness, how can we even look at Sri? When he's there, how can we even look at him? We become ashamed to look. It accuses me. Prabhupada's face, the purity of his face, accuses me, makes me ashamed without uttering a word. You see, even without saying anything, just coming into Srila Prabhupada's presence, it makes a change in our consciousness. And there are dozens of instances of devotees going to Srila Prabhupada. They had so many questions, so much confusion in their mind, and just they go in his presence and all their mental turbulence is resolved, all their questions are answered just by being in his presence, because he's so Krishna conscious and he emanates Krishna consciousness. It's just there, it's a total fixity in Krishna. So Krishna is there with him, manifest. And when we're in Krishna consciousness, we don't have any problems. We don't have any confusion. So when we're with Srila Prabhupada, it's like that. Then Hayagriva says, what power there is in the spiritual master's face. What power? Yeah, very powerful face. What magnetism. What volumes of wisdom. Very nicely he has written. So many others wrote nicely about Srila Prabhupada. Nicely means it's not like some sentimental description, but they're descriptions of their realizations of this monumental Krishna conscious personality. Here's some writing by another devotee who had much personal association with Srila Prabhupada, and despite the fact that he had much personal association with Srila Prabhupada, he always found Srila Prabhupada to be fresh. We can see that. I'm talking about Shyamasundara Prabhu. And he himself still often says that going into Srila Prabhupada's presence, you never knew what to expect. You always knew that it would be something exceptional, extraordinary, unpredictable. In many ways, Srila Prabhupada is predictable, in as much as we knew he was going to be Krishna conscious. We knew he would speak about Krishna or topics seen through the lens of Krishna conscious understanding. But exactly what he would do and how he would react to situations, it was unpredictable. And several times devotees, they tried to get Srila Prabhupada to say something and he would avoid that. He knew, and he refused to come under their schemes. All right, so let's read from Shyamasundara Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada had three disciples by the name of Shyamasundara. One was initiated in 1967 in San Francisco. Another was, I believe, in Hawaii, and another was initiated shortly before Prabhupada left this world. The astrologer later became an astrologer. And there's also Shyamasundara Ananda, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples in Mayapur. And he's still in Mayapur. He has a little fruit stall just outside the gate of the Mayapur temple. Anyway, this is Shyamasundara, 1967. He writes in his... just making another comment here, how Srila Prabhupada inspired different devotees in different ways. Coming to Krishna consciousness means we become very personal, and our real personality comes out. We're not stereotyped. So we see all these devotees on the Patit Pavan, unique personality. Hari Shari Prabhu, unique. And Hari Griva, unique. Shyamasundara, unique. They're not stereotyped people who come off the conveyor belt out of a factory, not people like that. They're all unique, developed personalities. Srila Prabhupada has really brought out the personality, and they're all different, and they're all expressing, they all have the same attitude of love for Srila Prabhupada, the love that he instilled in them, and they reflect it back to him. Actually, it's all to Krishna, but through the medium of Srila Prabhupada. And they're all unique in their observations about Srila Prabhupada and their style of writing and everything. That's an important point, that while we're describing Srila Prabhupada, definitely we have to, not as a duty, it's more than a duty, to love Guru and Krishna. Guru Krishna, prasade pai bhakti lata bij, yasya deve para bhakti, yata deve tata guru, tasaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmana. For one who has devotion to the Guru as much as to God, all the imports of the Vedic literature are revealed. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada, he did not accept that devotees would almost exclusively concentrate their love toward him. He would say, no, you love me, but that means you look up to Krishna. I'm pointing you to Krishna. Not that he dammed up the love and kept it for himself. It has to go to Krishna. That is described by one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Atreya Rishi Prabhu, in one Vyasa Puja offering, how he was all the time glorifying Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, he detected there's something wrong there. You see Krishna. Prabhupada would point him to Krishna. So the love is from Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada brought that. He awakened that in the hearts of his disciples, and they reflected that back, and they loved him. And by loving him, they can begin to love Krishna. Or awaken our natural love for Krishna. It's a better way to describe it. Anyway, here's an extract from Shyamasundara Prabhu's writing. This is writing about Srila Prabhupada, addressing Srila Prabhupada in the second person. So he's not talking about he, it's talking about you. So he writes, getting around to it at last, "The overwhelming beauty of your face and mouth." Then he describes in the rest of this quite long sentence, what is the overwhelming beauty of your face and mouth? He goes on, "The mobile ease and perfect lines of cheeks and crinkles wrapping around and punctuating another perfect mood, your dancing eyes, now somber." Sometimes they're dancing, sometimes somber. "Unmoving in thought." So the eyes are sometimes dancing, sometimes they're very grave, but they always reflect the consciousness, unmoved, fixed in Krishna. "Unmoving in thought, now wide," again talking about his eyes, "and full of mischief and glee. I remember the soft golden flesh of your shoulder and the surprising heart tissues below." That's something that devotees often mention. Maybe they'd wash his feet or touch his feet or massage his feet and say his skin is just like velvet. So soft. Noticeably soft. But then the devotees who went to massage him would find that his body it's hard like an athlete. How is that? It's all transcendental. Anyways, Shyamasundara says, "The surprising hard tissues below, the flow of blue veins under forearms, behind the knees, how they throbbed with a cool, even pulse as you lounged in the sun and roared with power when you danced all day. I cannot forget how you dressed yourself slowly, keenly observing each cloth before choosing, lifting to your thread to drape on your shoulder while you tied and tucked your dhoti with care." Now here's a devotee who spent so much time with Srila Prabhupada. See how he noted all the details of this transcendental personality. "If I could but remember your every elegant gesture and deed, the perfect delivery of your every word and expression, every movement of your beautiful body and each incident of your unbounded intelligence, there would not be enough days in my life. You are so full and comprehensive." Because the pure devotee is full of Krishna, then everything he does is full of import. Now, here's a remembrance. This is a very interesting one, from one of Srila Prabhupada's, among the last initiated disciples. Srila Prabhupada started initiating before he came to the West, and in the West he first started initiating in 1966, and then the last initiations he gave were in 1977. So this is from a devotee who was initiated just before, soon before Srila Prabhupada passed away. So this, she's very different from the ones who I've quoted so far. Patit Pavan joined in the 1960s, 1968, I believe. Shyamasundara was right there in the thick of it from 1967. Hayagriva was there from 1966. And Harishori Prabhu, though he came a little later, but he spent literally day and night with Srila Prabhupada for 2.5 years. Now this is Gopi Mata Dasi. She just had a little association with Srila Prabhupada. And this one is unique in as much as she first saw Srila Prabhupada when Srila Prabhupada came to England from Vrindavan. I believe it must have been late August 1977. And she saw Prabhupada there for the first time. And Srila Prabhupada at this time, from the external viewpoint, his health was much degenerated. He was very weak. It was visible that he was in very poor health, speaking conventionally. He's always spiritual. So most of the devotees, they were distraught upon seeing Srila Prabhupada in that situation. They'd seen him dancing in Rath Yatra, full of power like a lion roaring on the Vyasa San. And when they saw him, he had to be carried everywhere, in and out of the temple. He was hardly eating. So they were really distraught. But she gave another, she had another kind of impression. For her, it was her first vision of Srila Prabhupada. She'd just come from America. She came to England in March of 1977. And she joined the temple there. And she was excited, as everyone else was. She didn't expect to be able to actually see Prabhupada. But she wrote, many of the older devotees were pained to see him in that condition. But to me, it was the first time I saw him. And he was so incredibly attractive. He was glowing like the sun, just so beautiful, like the ripened fruit of tapasya. I had never experienced anyone who was exuding so much love. I was astonished. Srila Prabhupada's smile. I'll read from Srila Prabhupada's own writings, from his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22, Text 21. Srila Prabhupada writes, pure devotees are so absorbed in thought of Krishna that they have no other engagement. Although they may seem to think or act otherwise, they are always thinking of Krishna. The smile of such a Krishna-conscious person is so attractive that simply by smiling, he wins so many admirers, disciples, and followers. Now I'll read from a Vyasa Puja offering, penned in 1972, coming from ISKCON, Philadelphia. Exactly who the author is, we don't know. It is a meditation on Srila Prabhupada's smile. Your smile is the radiant sunshine that lights our every day, guiding us back to Godhead, the Hare Nama way. Your smile alone, Srila Prabhupada, can make the world Krishna conscious. The darkest regions, we, dark, covered souls, immediately respond with bliss, dancing and singing in ecstasy to see you smile this. Your smile alone, Srila Prabhupada, can make the world Krishna conscious. Our fondest dream, our only hope, to please your divine grace, to somehow coax your beautiful smile upon your lotus face. Your smile alone, Srila Prabhupada, can make the world Krishna conscious. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for appearing a while, but mostly, Srila Prabhupada, thank you for your smile. Your smile alone, Srila Prabhupada, can make the world Krishna conscious. So smiling, and then the next thing we can think of is his laughter. Here's a comment from Nagaraj Das, Back to Godhead, editor, about Srila Prabhupada's laughter. He writes, photos of Prabhupada often show his gravity, his no-nonsense attitude towards spiritual life. But he laughed too. Sali Agarwal, at whose home Prabhupada stayed when he first arrived in America, described his laughter as oceanic. And other devotees have described that when he laughed, it was like he was laughing from the spiritual world. He was laughing at the whole material world. Everything in the material world is just nonsense. And by his laughter, he imparted that realization. The whole material world is just one big joke from beginning to end. Getting back to Nagaraj, quoting Sali Agarwal, he just seemed to take in the whole world when he laughed, she said, and he laughed a lot. Hare Krishna. So reading again from Hare Krishna. Reading again from Hari Shauri Prabhu. He's describing one anecdote in which, I'll just make it a bit brief, but Srila Prabhupada is just with a few devotees in his room. This is going on against Prabhupada's smile and his laughter. So just with a few devotees in the room, Srila Prabhupada is giving an example of how Maya works. And he's recalling from his school days. You two just came from school, huh?
Yes.
And little girl also came from school. So, what do the teachers do when you're naughty? You're not naughty, you're a good girl, is it? Boys are sometimes naughty. Girls are not naughty, is it?
Yes.
Boys are sometimes naughty?
Yes.
Yes. What does the teacher do when the boys are naughty? Beats them. All right. And we'll have the police here now. Child abuse. So Srila Prabhupada described, if the two boys were fighting in the class, the teacher would call them to the front of the class and make them hold each other's ears and then pull, so they punish each other. So Srila Prabhupada said, in the same way Maya brings together one Churchill and one Hitler, and in this way they're pulling each other, and they're thinking, I'm a big leader, but actually it's just Maya is making them give pain to each other. And Prabhupada said, and the foolish people glorify them. The thought of the scene so humored him, Srila Prabhupada, that even before he finished, he began to laugh heartily. His shoulders and belly shook, and his brilliant teeth flashed with like pearls in the sun. When Prabhupada smiles, the entire room, even the universe, seems to light up. This whole world is dark. But when Srila Prabhupada smiles and laughs, it's like the whole universe is lighting up. It's a Vaikuntha smile that spreads transcendental effulgence everywhere around. Prabhupada's mood was so open and congenial, it seemed, if just for a moment, that we had joined a picnic with Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends joking and laughing in the forests of Goloka. Because Srila Prabhupada's there with Krishna, and when we're with Prabhupada and he's smiling and joking, it's the same mood that he'll be with Krishna, smiling and joking in Vrindavan. We laughed with him, glancing at each other in appreciation and wonder as to who this extraordinary personality Srila Prabhupada really is. He is far beyond our comprehension, yet we feel ourselves extremely fortunate to share these intimate moments with him. That just reminds me of one thing. It was in the ISKCON Berry Place Temple in London. We used to always play, especially in the kitchen area, because the kitchen was busy about 20 hours a day, early in the morning, starting, and then going up to late at night. By the time, when all the cooking was over, then they cooked the milk sweets for the morning, and then by the time the cleaning up, it was usually about midnight, and then at 4 o'clock would open the kitchen again to get the sweets and get them, and then the cooking would start. But all the time there were tapes of Srila Prabhupada playing, either lectures or kirtans. And just one time, it may have happened many times, but just one time, We used to take milk at night down in the basement. The kitchen was down in the basement. And there was this record, the tape playing of Srila Prabhupada singing Haraye Namah Krishna Jadavaya Namaha. And we'd heard it many times. We were just taking milk and we were listening. And then in that, Prabhupada's voice cracks with emotion of love, and we just looked at each other. Who is this Prabhupada? Harishari says, we feel ourselves extremely fortunate. Then Srila Prabhupada's eyes, devotees, very expressive eyes. Often devotees explained or recalled how Srila Prabhupada's eyes would grow very big in wonder or astonishment. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would look at someone. I personally had that experience, and many, many other devotees had that experience. Srila Prabhupada looks at you and it doesn't just see the outside form, but just sees your everything, looks right into your heart. And what he can see at that time, you can see also, which you wouldn't normally see. In one moment, you can see all the bad things in your heart, and you know he sees. He sees that. But he doesn't reject you. But he feels ashamed. What is in my heart? He can see that. So Srila Prabhupada, his seeing, it's not just like seeing the outside form. He sees right into our heart. Another feature Srila Prabhupada see, his eyes, they were anger. That was another feature of Srila Prabhupada. It wasn't all smiling and patting children on their head. He would often get very angry, and his eyes, it was as if he was going to burn up the whole universe. Then, several times, just in this short narration, several times we mentioned how Srila Prabhupada was glowing. So there's one anecdote which Dina Bandhu, again another unique personality, is completely inimitable. Dina Bandhu Prabhu, he's known to be of Vrindavan. He's actually born in maybe Denver, Colorado, or somewhere like that. He's practically part of Vrindavan. So many times he described how in America, Srila Prabhupada arrived at one airport and there was some black man, janitor or something like that, who spoke in his own simple way, and Dina Bandhu can imitate that man's speaking. I can't imitate that as Dina Bandhu Prabhu can. Did you see that man? He's glowing! He's glowing! That just some ordinary man of socially considered a very low status can see that Srila Prabhupada is just glowing. And many times devotees, they said that they would walk into Srila Prabhupada's room and the whole room was just bright. The whole room was lit up from the transcendental brightness, the glow of Srila Prabhupada's body. So that's little discussion of the Srila Prabhupada's beautiful bodily and extremely pleasing features. And thank you very much to Lalita Sakhi Mataji for collecting most of these things. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas Chakupa Sindhubhya Vachapati Janam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukharo navayangra vichara yamaha hari rasamadirama dati mata bhuvi vilotama natama nirvishama dante nidhaya chunakam padayo nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta dahang bravimi he sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charne guru tanuragam hari krishna.